Hi, and welcome to the Urban Homesteader Podcast, where I'm your host, Samantha McClure. On this podcast, I will share my family's adventures on our one-acre homestead in the middle of small-town USA, from homeschooling and cooking to animals and everything in between.
Hey friends, it's Samantha, the Urban Homesteader, and I am so excited about this time of year. Spring is beginning to, and it is time to start my annual mushroom hunting. This time of year offers all kinds of great things to forage, not just mushrooms. Already gone foraging once this spring, and I found wild chervil, which a lot of people aren't familiar with. It is a French herb similar to parsley. You'll find it in things like Herbs de Provence. It's very mild tasting, very fine, but it grows everywhere down here in South Carolina. I found that, and I've picked up some wild mint called Yerba Bueno, or known as Indian Mint. It was named by missionaries in California, so I was really excited to find that. It smells like Vicks Vapor Rub. Let's see, what else did I find today, this year? I've already found Usnea, and you can see where the wintergreen is coming up. I don't generally pick a lot of wintergreen because it's a native species and it's on the endangered list here in South Carolina, so I don't pick it. I do enjoy looking at it, though. It's such a pretty plant. But it's mushroom season. We have been harvesting wild mushrooms all winter long. We've collected winter oysters, and this year we have found more lion's mane and bear's head tooth than we've ever found. There's still some out there, so we'll collect that. This week, my husband and I are going to hunt oysters because we just had lots of rain, and now the temperatures are shooting up near the mid-70s, and that's like perfect fruiting weather. And my favorite mushroom of all, the morel. It is morel season. I know it is morel season based on what is coming up around us. I always watch for the signs, and the signs are signing and telling me it's time to hunt. So I'm going to tell you some of the things that I look for when I get ready to go mushroom hunting. I have found floodplains and creek bottoms are my best places to look. And being out here, we have floodplains and creek bottoms everywhere, which is really exciting. My mushrooms grow in areas that have lots of elms and tulip poplars. You might be familiar with the tulip poplar in the city because it has those big pink blooms and they're beautiful this time of year. But the tulip poplars that I'm looking for actually have a green flower that is much smaller. It is a wild cultivar. It grows in the floodplains and the creek bottoms. Sorry, y'all, I just took my Flonase. It's allergy season. But I have found creek bottoms with loamy, beautiful soil, floodplains, elm trees, and tulip poplars. The tulip poplars have to be blooming. Red buds. Watch for the red buds. I always know that it is time when the daffodils and the red buds start blooming. That's my cue to go begin my hunt. Has not failed me yet. I think knowing the signs. Generally, another way you can tell is to check your soil temperatures. It needs to be 53 degrees, so nighttime temperatures need to be over 40 and daytime temperatures over 60. We've had a lot of that. Today was, was kind of cold. It was 33 this morning. But my husband did see morels yesterday when he was out hiking. He just didn't bring them to me. But he had other projects that he was working on. So, picking up mushrooms for his wife was not at the top of his list. But it is mushroom season, y'all. So morels grow in the ground. They are a symbiotic mushroom. That's why you will find them around certain trees. Old apple orchards are a great place to look. We don't really know a whole lot about why morels choose where they grow, because one year they may grow in one place and you come back the next year they're not there, but they'll be somewhere else, completely random. Morels do what they want to do. That's just the way it is. They do what they want to do. But apple orchards are a great place to look. Again, creek bottoms. You can find them sometimes under sycamore and cottonwoods. I've just had luck with elms and tulip poplar. I personally can smell them. They have a very strong, earthy, wet mushroom smell. I don't particularly find that pleasant smelling, but it helps me to locate them. But I'll tell you what, though, morels are absolutely delicious. We had some in a soup recently, and I could eat that all day long. I'm hoping to find enough morels this year that we can do a couple of pizzas. I want to dry them and put them away. I did dry some that I found last year, and we have reconstituted them and put them on pizza, and it was fabulous. I think by far they are my favorite mushroom to eat. There's a reason when you find a honey hole, you don't share with anybody because you don't want anybody to get your mushrooms before you do. If I could figure out how to grow them myself, I would. All right, so now let's talk about some other mushrooms you might find. Oysters and lion's mane and bear's head grow on decaying trees, usually the hardwoods. I don't generally trust anything that grows on pine or evergreen, just because I'm not super familiar with them. I stick with the things that I am familiar with. But oysters right now are coming out in a gray color. They smell like licorice or star anise, kind of clovey. I did find some once that smelled like fish. Like, they were so strong, we had to roll the windows down to get home. I'll be honest, I didn't eat them, but I did toss them out on a wood pile so that they could release their spore and hopefully colonize that wood pile. And guess what? I had mushrooms. They weren't as strong, and it worked for me. Oysters are really good. You can put them in soups and stews, saute them and put them over, your steaks. They're great. I don't know how well they dehydrate. Never really tried. My friend dehydrates them. I'll have to ask her how. We just eat them fresh. Lion's mane, I will dry in tincture. Cats, enough. I'm trying to record. My cats are being silly. Lion's mane, we dry in tincture. It looks like this giant hairy puff ball growing on the side of a tree. Bear's hood tooth is in the same family as the lion's head, but it looks like a cascading waterfall of ice. It's got all the little tentacles. You've seen those videos or pictures of the waterfalls, the ice waterfalls coming over, and how it just looks like finger. It's so pretty. But that's that. I'm gonna dry it and use it for tea. It has some medicinal purposes, and I will get into that in another podcast episode. Later this summer, we're gonna go hunting for, again, oysters, because oysters grow year-round. There's different varieties. You've got summer oysters, which are a white, fleshy, beautiful mushroom. We'll be looking for those. And the kids and I will be hunting for chanterelles and black trumpets. And every now and then, I get lucky and I find lobsters and blue indigo milk caps. Still a little early for those. Those like warmer weather. But I'm looking forward to all the mushrooms that we're going to put up this year. I have a couple honey holes for chanterelles, and they're usually very abundant. We find a good many. Those we eat fresh. The black trumpets all dry. Those dry beautifully. I don't like dehydrated chanterelles. They taste kind of woody. But I'm excited about that. Mushroom hunting is a big deal for our family. We enjoy it. It gives us an excuse to get out in the woods and explore. And there's so many good things. But that's all the mushrooms that we're looking for this year. And we got some other exciting things to look for here in the next coming weeks. Another couple of things that we'll be looking for on our mushroom hunt and our foraging trips this year. Stinging nettle grows wild all over this area. I would recommend wearing gloves, as it will definitely sting Rubber gloves don't work. Ask me how I know. I would choose leather gloves and, as a little bit of proactiveness, pack some baking soda and water, because I have found that when I get stung by the stinging nettle, I can rub baking soda. I'll make a paste with baking soda and water and rub it in, and it helps take that sting away. I'll still have the red welts, but it'll take away the sting. But we'll be hunting for vitamin C. Y'all, I have not had enough coffee this morning. We'll be looking for stinging nettle, which I will then dry or cook. Stinging nettle is high in vitamin C and other necessary vitamins and minerals, and it just tastes really good. I use it a lot in my teas as a base, especially my herbal teas. It's very versatile and really, really, really useful. So we'll be looking for that. Another thing that we'll be looking for is mullein. Mullein grows wild out here all over the place. This year I'm hoping to find some mullein flower that isn't along the roadside. I've got a couple of places that I will look, as well as in my garden, because I did harvest some mullein plants from a spot that just had so many. I didn't take all of them. Never take all of what you see. Only take about 10% when you're hunting, foraging, because I mean, you don't want to destroy the ecosystem, and you want to save some for the wild. So only about 10% comes home with me. But mullein is great for lungs. Some people smoke it. I do not smoke it. I find that to be kind of counterintuitive. I mean, to smoke something for lung health, if you catch my drift. I do tincture it, though. It is an ingredient in my elderberry syrup, and it does help support lung health when we have colds and gooiness. And I just like it. It's also a great base in my tea. Just be aware that it can cause, you know, like sticky feelings in your throat, because it does have little hairs. Another thing we look for is comfrey. Comfrey grows wild everywhere. You can eat it in a salad. You can dry it, tincture it, cut it up, add it to, you know, tea bases. I do put it in my tea. Comfrey also makes a spectacular fertilizer in your garden. Lots and lots of uses for comfrey that grows wild out here. And then later this summer, about August, September, we'll be looking for pawpaws. That's also about the best time for our chanterelles. But pawpaws are one of the oldest... Ow! Don't do that, you little fart! Sorry, I'm talking to the cat. He just climbed up my back. Pawpaws are the largest native fruit species in the United States. It grows along creek banks and river bottoms and floodplains. It kind of tastes like a cross between a banana and a papaya. And I have found that different trees' fruits taste different from other trees' fruits. So you could pick up, I don't know, from 5 or 6 different groves, and they all taste different. Some will taste like banana and vanilla pudding. Some of them will have a more tropical mango papaya flavor. It's really fascinating. You only pick up the ones that are on the ground, because those are the ripe ones, and you don't want to pick up everything, because again, there's a lot of animals that depend on pawpaw as a meal. And the pawpaw tree is a native, the zebra swallowtail, it's their home. It's where they spawn or make babies, or my brain's not functioning for the correct terminology this morning, but it's the home for the zebra swallowtail. So we'll be looking for those. And it's just a really cool plant. Pawpaws are really cool. See, what are some other things that we look for? I get my chervil, because that grows in the spring. A nickname for chervil is the harbinger of spring. So you know spring is coming if the chervil's out. It's so delicate and leafy. Usnier, you can pick that up. It is a tree lichen. It can be used for urinary tract health. Only pick up what's on the ground. Don't knock it out of the trees. It's everywhere. It looks like it looks like green cotton. I'll have to share a picture of it. You'll know what it looks like. It looks like a goat beard, but it's green. and it's everywhere. You can get big clumps of it off the ground. I'm trying to think. I don't know what else we harvest. Mushrooms and those few plants are things that I look for. I have not found chaga out here. I've only found one reishi in all the years that I've been out here, and that was in my driveway, so I'm definitely not going to use that one. I've only found chaga once, but it was on someone else's property, and I didn't feel comfortable asking them if I could climb the tree to get it. So that is not something that I have found or found that I could use. There's a lot of stuff in the area if you're just willing to look for it. Blackberries, I know a couple of areas where we'll be picking wild blackberries this early summer, like gallons and gallons, which will be great because the kids and I can make jam and we'll have plenty to make muffins and stuff throughout the summer to enjoy all year long. I haven't found any wild raspberries, but we do find wild blackberries. Wild blueberries. Okay, so wild blueberries are out here. They grow natively out here. People don't realize it. They grow along the creeks and the floodplains. If you've ever grown blueberry plants, you know what they look like. And if you're walking in the woods, you're like, oh, I know what that is. Out here, they call them huckleberries. Huckleberries and blueberries are very, very similar. They look identical to me. They taste identical to me. Last year, we found the wild blueberries, and we had just enough for everybody to have one. Again, just putting out a disclaimer, don't eat anything in the woods unless you are 100% positive you know what it is. Because there are a lot of lookalikes out there. So don't just eat random berries. Don't just stick mushrooms in your mouth. If you don't know what it is, 100%, do not eat it. Ever. Because you could very easily poison yourself, and we don't want you poisoning yourself. But we did find wild blueberries this year. We all got exactly one blueberry, and they were super sweet and really good, and I wish I could get more. But we leave those. The birds enjoy them. And it's just kind of fun. If you can find that one or two blueberries when you're out hiking, it's kind of exciting. We like it. I'm trying to think. There are some flowers that you can harvest that are edible. You got the wild roses. I wouldn't necessarily harvest them out here because most of them grow in the wild ditch banks. And in the wild ditch banks. They grow wild in the ditch banks, but because of vehicular traffic, I don't generally harvest from the side of the road just because of all the chemicals and stuff that are emitted from vehicles and washed off of vehicles. It's just not worth it for my family's health. Same for blackberries and mullein and anything else that I might generally harvest. If I can't find it free and clear away from the road, I don't generally harvest. Oh, y'all, elderberry. Elderberry will be harvestable. You'll have some in May and you'll have some in August. So in May, you can harvest elderberry flowers, which have a very beautiful fragrance and are kind of sweet. I like to make tea out of it or simple syrup for our sodas. For the kids and I, that's just the elderberry flower. And then in August, we'll harvest the elderberries, and I'll either dehydrate or freeze those, or I'll just go ahead and make up like elderberry juice and can that so that I can make elderberry syrup later. It's really, really good. Those grow everywhere around here. In fact, I've got several plants that I have rooted and I am growing myself from plants that were super prolific in areas that I have picked before. So I just took a couple of snips and rooted them. Cultivated? I don't know what the term for that is. My brain's not functioning this morning. But we'll be picking all of that as well this year. It's going to be a good foraging year, and I'm excited to share. I will post some videos on YouTube this year of some of our foraging forays so that I can kind of show you what to look for and where, you know, kind of ideas of where to go and look and what you're looking for so that if you want to start harvesting and foraging yourself, you can. Just note that if you are foraging on depending on where you're foraging, you might need a permit through the Forest Service or the state, or permission from the landowner. Just make sure that you have permission for what you're doing. And most foraging is for personal use only. In order to sell what you find, you have to have a license. Excuse me, y'all. And those licenses have to be through the state and through licensing authority. So don't plan to go out there, pick everything, and then go sell it. It's kind of against the law, and you could get into big trouble for it. But for personal use, it's generally not a big deal. And again, I would stick to the rule of picking no more than 10% so that you don't destroy the ecosystem and you leave some for everybody else. But that is this year's foraging forecast and excitement. And until next time, guys, I hope you have a spectacular day.